What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Third Shot Podcast. As always, we are excited to have you join us today. And if you haven't already, we would love for you to follow us on our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Third Shot Podcast. You can also watch us on YouTube at Third Shot Podcast. And you can also tweet with us on X at Third Shot Pod. So get out those phones, make sure you follow us. Today, you may notice that we are missing one of our co-hosts, Russ. He is out doing all the family things. So Uncle Greg and I, we are here with our first shot, and that's we're ready right to kick it off.
Cheers, Bridgie.
Cheers.
We'll do our best to hold down the fort, Russ.
Yeah, right. Those are big shoes to try to fill.
It is. Well, you've been traveling, haven't you?
Yes, I just got back from Phoenix, Arizona. I was there for a work conference, and it was a national conference called NERSA. So people who have either participated in campus rec sports at a university level, there's a governing organization called NERSA, and it stands for National Intramural Recreational and Sports Association.
Wow.
And so there was a team of us, about nine from the people that I work with, and we went down there. And then me and one other...
Tell everybody what you do again, for people that don't know.
Okay, so I work at UNLV in the campus rec department, and I am the assistant director of facilities and operations. So kind of just overseeing front desk operations, membership, special events, all that fun stuff.
Okay. Yes. Cool. So I interrupted. What was the conference? What was it like?
It was so fun. The main purpose was for me and my colleague to present. So we had created a presentation. This was the first national conference that I was presenting at. So it was kind of a big to-do. But once I got there, I was super surprised in a good way to find out how much pickleball was involved in this conference.
Really? Is this the first time that pickleball has been kind of a main topic?
Yes. I've gone to these conferences the past 4 or 5 years. And to my knowledge, this is the first time that it's been such a highlight of the entire conference. So they even had a tournament going on.
Wow.
Right. And I was so bummed because by the time I registered, all of the spots were filled. So that kind of shows how excited people were to find out that there was pickleball too. Because all of the seats of the tournament were filled up.
How many universities do you think were present at the conference?
I'm not sure about universities, but there was over 1,700 attendees.
Okay. Well, no wonder it filled up. The tournament filled up.
Yeah, right. So they have a vendor expo, and part of that expo they set up, I think there was 6 pickleball courts in that big expo hall.
Oh, so it was indoors. They rolled out courts.
No, they didn't roll out courts, unfortunately. So maybe it's a good thing that I didn't play because I might have slipped or something. But it was on, a warehouse floor is kind of polished cement. So I think that's just what they were using.
So what were they talking about? What was the main thing that they were trying to stress, that to incorporate pickleball into the university life, or what was the topic?
Yeah, I was so happy to see that. And I actually went to one of their presentations. So USA Pickleball actually sent out 2 representatives to attend this conference and to give us this presentation. And they were there to kind of inform all of us how we can bring pickleball onto our campus if we haven't already. And if we have, kind of what resources that they are providing to universities as far as money, rules, kind of a brief introduction on how you can easily teach pickleball to people so that it's digestible and still fun, but not too intense so that you don't scare them away right off the bat. So I went to that presentation and it was really good to hear from them, but also to hear from the other universities and see how they've gotten people to show up. And people at their schools, unlike UNLV, they've got groups and groups of students just ready to play and asking how they can start a club.
Wow. So that's exciting for the sport.
It really is. Yeah, I feel like this might be like the first step of getting it as an NCAA sport.
Was that one of the topics that they spoke about? Is like the kind of where it's moving towards, and is being an NCAA sport one of the goals for the I guess the organization that presented?
Yeah, there wasn't much talk on that just because our like NERSA, the campus rec kind of side of the university is so separate from athletics usually. So athletics is the NCAA side of things, and then we're just the sports for everyone type of people.
Right. So did you have like more ammunition to take back to UNLV and say, hey, we need to do more with pickleball within our campus?
Absolutely. That is exactly why I went to that session because I was like, let me find out some information so I can bring it back to UNLV and hopefully get something off the ground. Because we've offered it a couple of times now as an intramural sport, but have had really low turnout, unfortunately.
That's
So I was
amazing.
trying
I
to.
would think down in Vegas, there's so much excitement around pickleball. There's courts popping up everywhere. There's now the Chicken Pickle that's opening up. I would think there's
Yeah.
so much pickleball momentum in Vegas that it would be easy to roll that out and get clubs and get teams.
I would have thought so too, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep trying and offer it again and maybe offer some learn to play sessions so people who may have only heard of the sport can come out and actually like learn what the rules are and start playing.
Right. Yeah, maybe we need to find like an instructor down in the area to
Yeah.
kind of lead that, right? And then really build some excitement. I think once people, you know how it is, right? You try it one or two times and you're like hooked. So I would think if you
Exactly.
just get a whole bunch of people to try it a few times, I think then, you would easily have a team or a league that you could start there.
Yeah, I think so too. And we've put up the net a few times at the rec center and just played amongst ourselves to kind of just draw some attention to it and let people know that we have this equipment.
Right.
So hopefully that continues.
Well, when you invited me to participate with you at the health fair, right, at the campus, it seemed like we were getting a lot of excitement about it.
Yeah, there was tons of students coming up to the table and
A
saying like,
lot.
"Oh, I've always wanted to play," or like, "I've heard of pickleball, but I haven't had a chance to learn how to play yet." So,
Right, right.
hopefully they just need the opportunity to come on over.
I think with more indoor facilities that are popping up now in Vegas, because I think
Yeah.
maybe something that keeps people away is the heat, right? Or the wind, right, in Vegas, because it's
Yes.
either windy or it's hot, right, during the summer, and maybe that scares some people away. But I've joined you in the summertime, and even during the day, it's hot. I get it, it's hot, but it's not unbearable. And then when we play in the evenings, it's gorgeous. I mean, playing in Vegas, like after the sun goes down, is some of the nicest. Oh my gosh, it feels great because it's not humid, but it's warm. And over at sunset, the lighting is fantastic. I mean, I just it's find it so enjoyable.
Yeah, we're super lucky to have that facility here, but also with the weather too. As long as it's not windy in Vegas, I feel like it's always pickleball weather.
Right. And there's more, like there is an indoor pickleball facility, and then the Chicken and Pickle is opening up pretty soon. So I think there's probably going to be a lot more indoor. I mean, Vegas is growing so
Oh
quickly,
my
it seems
gosh,
like.
yeah.
There's like housing developments popping up. There's more people coming in. And I was looking at one of the newer areas, and one of the things they promoted as far as the community is we put in pickleball courts. Like
Oh,
that
that's
was the selling
hilarious.
point for the community. And I was like, well, that works for me. Maybe I'll come down.
Yes, so vacation house.
Right? I mean, that would be so fantastic. Well, that's neat for UNLV. I hope that you guys can put together some programs. And obviously, I will help any way possible. Like, that'll give me another excuse to come down.
Yeah, right. You can be our instructor.
I'll be your pickleball ambassador and for the campus life, with my daughter there and my niece working there. Why
Right.
not? I got
Yep.
connections.
Well, I'm super excited too for the chicken and pickle to open. It's a mile away from my house. So whenever you come on down and stay, we got to hit it up. And then also by IKEA, they're putting in another one called Electric Pickle.
Electric Pickle.
Yep. So it looks very similar to like a chicken and pickle concept with like a restaurant and very social and fun. So I'm excited for any of those to open and we can test them all out. We should do like a live stream from them.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah. Let's do that.
There's a new indoor facility. You know how I've been talking about that up here in Northern California, there really haven't been a lot of indoor facilities. In fact, there were none until I think over the past year. The Hub has opened up two locations, one in South Bay and one in Alameda. And mm-hmm. then Craneway Pavilion over in Richmond just opened up. And one of the people that we know, Rachel Hong, she was yes. one of our first interviews. She's the owner of Craneway Pavilion. And I just made contact with her. So we're planning on, you know, interviewing her and maybe we'll do a live stream from there.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'm sure a lot of our viewers would love to see it because I know you've got a great following up in Northern California who listen to the show. And so I think that they would love to see it. So hopefully you watch it on YouTube, listeners, because
yeah, I got a little sneak peek of the facility. I went by there and I have never, I mean, it is right on the bay. So literally it's a wall full of windows looking out at the bay, and across the bay you see the San Francisco skyline. I mean, it is wow. so scenic. It's so gorgeous. Inside has kind of an industrial feel. Anyway, just really cool facility, and I can't wait for people to learn a little bit more about Craneway Pavilion down the road. But I think, you know, it just shows how much, you know, interest there is in play in all of these different states. You're in Nevada, I'm in California. We hear mm-hmm. about all the, Pickleball Kingdom is opening up their first location in Texas coming up. We had Papa Pickle on the show. So many in Florida. So anyway, it just bodes really well for the growth of pickleball to continue being the fastest growing sport in America.
Yes. And, you know, that was one of the questions too that was brought up at the conference was the rec professionals were asking, you know, should we count on this sport as being a lasting sport? Because they saw so much growth in such a short amount of time that I think a lot of people who are in the position to support the sport were a little bit hesitant because they don't want to invest so much right off the bat without knowing what the stability is of popularity of the sport. So the USA Pickleball person definitely supported it and told them, you know, I don't think this is going anywhere. This is a sport that's going to last. It might not be as trendy or like in the forefront of, you know, like the social media stuff and things that we're mm-hmm. hearing about, but it's not going to go away. It's not like it's going to decrease in popularity. So
that's good to hear.
Forecast.
Right. That is good to hear.
We love to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Uncle, I almost forgot to tell you. So at the conference, when I was watching the matches that they had in the Expo Center, somebody who was playing slipped because, you know, they weren't playing on an actual pickleball court surface. It was like a warehouse floor almost. So it's like polished cement. And they slipped when they went to go swing and smack on their butt. Like, I felt so bad for them. They were down for a while and it looked so painful. But then I was thinking, oh, thank goodness I didn't actually play because that could have been me. You could bust your tailbone.
You have done, you know, you play hard, right? And you have gone, you've gone for it at times and gone yes. down because of it. Oh my gosh, that is awful that they would actually, because the conference, there were people that are in kind of the health field or wellness field, right?
Yeah, that's at the core of what we do in campus recreation is health and wellness. And so it probably would have been much better if they just splurged and got like a rollout pickleball court flooring or something.
Yeah.
Just to prevent injuries from happening.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, injuries, you know what? This is actually a good topic. It's just because it's the two of us today, right? Usually we have a guest. We don't have a guest today. It's just going to be the two of us kind of chopping it up, chatting about pickleball. I would like to talk to you a little bit about injuries because this is something that I think is becoming more and more prevalent as people continue to play and more people are getting into it. Before we get into that conversation, though, I do want to thank everybody for continuing to follow us. It's so wonderful to get the feedback that all of you have been providing us. Keep it coming. Please come on to our social media accounts, which is Instagram, Facebook, which is Third Shot Podcast, X, which is Third Shot Pod. Go to our website, thirdshotpodcast.com, and go to YouTube and look us up, and you get to see our smiling faces at Third Shot Podcast. So thank you again for coming on and following us and subscribing. We really do appreciate it. If you can drop us a 5-star review, that doesn't hurt either. So on that note, Bridgie, let's take our second shot.
Yeah, let's toast to that poor person who fell on their rump. Because we know how bad that feels.
Was it a man or a woman?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever it was, here's to you. Yeah, the whole injury thing, it's becoming really, really prevalent. I mean, when I was at that APP tournament in Sacramento, mm-hmm. I played against this one guy who flew in from Houston to Sacramento to play this tournament. He was doing really well. He kicked our butts. And then I was watching from a distance he was playing, and all of a sudden, he just chucked his paddle, like, out into the grassy area where people were sitting, but it didn't hit anybody. But anyway, he just threw it. And I thought he was just mad, right? Uh-huh. I thought he lost the match and he was just angry and he was a bad sport, but that wasn't the case. I found out later he tore his rotator cuff in the match during a play. It ripped. His partner is a surgeon, which coincidentally, his partner was a surgeon and knew exactly what had happened. And says, you got to stop. You just tore your rotator cuff. And he got so mad, he threw his paddle. But, I mean, that's what's happening nowadays. Like, it's crazy injuries. Like, do you ever worry that you're going to hurt yourself out on the court playing?
Yes, all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, well, because, like, I'm getting older. I'm not, like, saying I'm super old. But, you know, over 30, like, things start not working as well. And on top of it, you know, my recovery time is not what it used to be, whether it's injuries or just even like from playing excessively. I noticed that I'm sore for much longer than before, where it'd take like a day maybe to recover. It's like multiple days now. And I think it's because although I take my pickleballing seriously, I don't go through those proper pre-playing, stretching, or warming up or anything like that. And, you know, you're just kind of like, oh, I'm here, I'm ready to play. You show up, you put your shoes on, and you hop on the court, where I think that might be the downfall. And I'm so dumb because, like, I recognize this and I still don't really change my ways.
Well, you know how you and I would play sports our whole lives. And when it's a team sport, whether it's soccer or baseball or what have you, you go to the field and you stretch, you warm up, you stretch, and then you start doing some drills, and then you get into the game, right? We've done that our whole lives, no matter what sport we are playing. But yet in pickleball, we don't do it. And I roll up to the court. I'm looking at all the people that are rolling up to the court. They're not stretching either. They're just going, hey, let's dink. Let's come on. Let's hit a few drives, right? And then they're starting matches. And I'm going, okay, I'm not the only one that's doing it. It's just part of the culture that nobody's doing proper stretching and warm-ups before just recreational play. But I think that's where all the injuries are happening, is just recreational play. It's not like the pros, they're doing the proper things, and the tournament players are doing the proper things. But, you know, for the 40 million of the 50 million people that are playing, they're just rolling up and saying, let's come on, let's go, right? I think it's major. So I think I mentioned to you over the weekend, I went to the Hub, right, and played over there. And they had kind of that health fair going on where I got to do cryotherapy and the compression boots. And I loved it. Like, I really felt much better. I thought I was going to be hurting much worse from playing so much over the weekend. And I really wasn't. So it made me think about, like, how much or what would I do if I had, you know, let's say an extra $100, $200 a month or something like that, what would I use that money for health reasons, to keep me on the pickleball or to prevent injuries or just make it more pleasurable for me? So I wanted to ask you before I tell you what I would do with my $100 to $200 a month.
Okay, we're talking $100 to $200.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, you know. And if you could, you know, you're not going to miss it. You have to put it towards something that would help your health in playing pickleball.
I would put it towards massages, I think.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I've read so many things about how beneficial regular massages can be for your body. Like, it could help hypertension, it could help your muscles, recovery time. And there's so many different techniques too that different massage therapists can use. So I think, like, if my body was in that constant, like, maybe once, or because $100 to $200, you could probably get like two massages a month.
Two a month.
You know, they have like Massage Envy. You can sign up for those monthly packages or something right. like that. Yeah, I think that's what I would put it towards. Plus, afterwards, you know, you feel kind of bougie. You're like getting massages a couple times a month, just keeping yourself, you know, in check.
So you've had massages in the past, right?
I have, yeah.
And when you went into the massage, were you sore? Like, before you, the reason why you got the massage was because you were sore.
Not sore from like playing a sport, but like tense. You know, yeah. You know, when you're stressed, like, I carry my tension in my shoulders and my neck. And after like a stressful week of work, I just feel so like my shoulders are way up there by my ears and like, you just don't feel relaxed. But then after you get the massage, because of everything that they do, then you just feel so much more relaxed and your muscles feel calmer and, you know, you just feel like you can be at peace.
Yeah. How long do you think that lasts for you, where your body feels good and you're not all tight and stuff?
Well, when do I have to go back to work?
Well, let's say you do it on a Friday night after work, and you go back to work on Monday.
How long am I feeling good?
Are you feeling good through the weekend? And then once Monday morning hits and you're back to work, it's like,
muscles are tight.
Because I'm asking for like pickleball, like if you are, you know, sore or whatever, and you get the massage, like, will that carry forward? Like, if you get two massages a month, will your body kind of respond to it for the full month, or do you think you would need more than two?
Well, I've heard that like when you're consistent, like that's when you start seeing better results from them, where like I've never been able to do consistent massages. It's like, oh, it's been like a year and a half since I've gotten one. Let me like treat myself and then I go get one. But I think if it was a more consistent schedule, then, you know, your body doesn't have that long amount of time in between sessions. And so you're able to kind of like work through better things. But I think a massage lasts me about a week. You know, it starts off so good and then it starts just like slowly declining the effects after about a week. Wow. What about you? So you had, I remember during the Shamrock Open, they had a massage therapist there, and you know, like at the hub, Uncle Greg's first in line.
I was at
on the table.
I was like, okay, how long? Let's go.
Yeah. So how long do you think that helped, first of all? And then how long did you feel the effects?
It definitely helped. I think it probably, well, you know, it was because they were doing so many people, I only got like a 10-minute massage. And I think what you're talking is probably getting an hour, right? So they work in all different parts of your body. For me, it was only like 10 minutes. And it did help in those little problem areas that I had. I don't know. I think because it was so short, I don't know if it lasted too long, but it felt great. You know, it just felt good. Like, okay, loosen me up. Because I did that. That was the very last thing after the last match. We closed down the booth, right? So we had everything packed up in the truck. And it was just like, okay, time to relax. They had the nice dinner party and I got the massage, right? And then you won in the jackpot in the playing the slot machine, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they totally did it right at the event. So Okay, so I don't know if I would spend my $200 on massage.
What would you pick?
I think, so first of all, I would have never considered cryotherapy. It was not even on my radar, right?
Tell us what cryotherapy is, because I think I know, but I might not be.
Cryotherapy is basically they're, you know, well, the little pop-up they did at the event, they sprayed it on you. So they're basically like spraying cold air onto your muscles, and it alleviates all the inflammation, right? But what they were saying is, you know, if you come to our studio, you're basically sitting in a booth or something, and your whole body is getting really cold for, and they said between 3 to 5 minutes. Usually when you're starting, you do it for about 3 minutes until you start getting used to it a little bit, and then they increase it about 5 minutes, and they don't really recommend doing it too much longer than 5 minutes, right? But it's super cold, like it's below zero type temperature that you're putting your body in, but it gets rid of the inflammation. So again, it's a little, you know, temporary pop-up thing that they did, and they just sprayed it on my problem areas, and I was like, immediately I felt the difference.
Really? Like that fast?
Yeah, like I chose my neck, my elbow, my knees, and kind of my lower back area. And they would spray each area for maybe 30 seconds each, right?
Okay.
And just in that little 30 seconds in each spot felt better. Like I ended up playing the rest of the day, driving home that night, waking up the next morning. Those problem spots that I always have were not problem spots. So I was like, okay, like cryotherapy, maybe I would spend my money on that. So I asked them how much it costs. Like, I apologize if I'm misquoting this, but I think they said it was $100 a month and you get a certain amount of sessions. And at the sessions, they do the full body, and then you can do the compression, you know, boots where they put the sleeve on your legs or your arms, and then they, you know, put the air in there and it tightens up. It feels like a blood pressure machine, like on your full leg or your full arm, you know, and then they said they have it for your hips as well too. And I go, well, that's pretty cool. If you get that for $100 and you get the cryotherapy that probably lasts at least a week, you know, for the inflammation, I would think that's pretty intense. So if you get to do it 4 times a month, I would think you're probably feeling pretty darn good. And that's only $100 if I remember what she told me. So if I got $200, the other $100, I think I would spend on chiropractic.
Ooh, yes.
Because I know I'm misaligned. And I think if I got consistent adjustments, I haven't done chiropractic in a long time, but I was doing it while I was having problems when I was playing baseball, and it really helped my back and neck.
I can attest to that. I just finished up my chiropractic sessions because I was in a car accident back in February. And so as part of the treatment, they sent me to a chiropractor's office, and it definitely has helped because I haven't been doing anything else. And that's the only change that was made after the accident. And my lower back pain went away. My neck pain went away. Now that it's over, like how long until this comes back?
So I think, yeah, I mean, when I was doing, I don't know how much chiropractic costs now, but when I was doing it before, I think I was getting charged like $50 a visit.
Okay.
So if I did 2 visits a month, right after, I think they kind of have to work a little more strenuously on you at the beginning, right? To kind of get you in the right alignment, and then after that it's just tune-ups, like, you know, a couple times a month you go in.
Yeah,
so if I could do cryotherapy 4 times and get 2 adjustments a month, I think I would be in pretty good shape with that $200. Now, who has $200 to spend? Some people do.
Yeah. If you're fortunate.
Yeah,
so I need to go back to this cryotherapy that you're talking about. When they sprayed it on you, what did it feel like? Because I'm imagining that it would have been like, oh, you know, like shockingly cold.
Yeah, it is. when they
well, worth it.
It was shock, but I mean, you knew it was going to be cold, so it was shockingly cold. It's like, you know, when you kind of ease yourself into a cold pool, and yes, you hit your stomach area, and all of a sudden it goes, that's a little colder than my legs, right? Or, you know, you put your hands in and it's like, oh, it's not too bad. And then all of a sudden you get to your stomach and then it's like, oh, that's cold. It kind of feels like that at the beginning, but then as they're spraying it, it's like immediately you're used to it. So it's like maybe the first 2 seconds you will feel like, oh, and then it's like, okay, that's good.
So then does it feel better afterwards because now your blood is warming you back up, or is it really taking the pain away?
No, it felt immediately different.
Oh my gosh. I want to try it now because that might make me change my answer. You're really selling me on this.
I would try it. I think it's pretty cool. In fact, if we ever open up a pickleball facility, I think we should offer cryotherapy as, you know, one of the
add-ons or something.
Yeah, one of the add-ons, one of the treatments you can have and that type of thing. I think massage therapy, chiropractic, and cryotherapy all should be offered in our club.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Then you see Uncle Greg in the chair with the compression arms and legs on.
Like, if anybody's looking for me because there's a problem or whatever, you just, oh, he's probably getting iced out or he's
probably getting pressure. Find him in the treatment center over there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I shared with you one of those videos I saw. They said, what, $370 million in medical treatments due to pickleball injuries this year?
Yes, I saw that video and I was shocked at the amount that they're estimating that's going to be spent in the next coming year on pickleball injuries, because, you know, they always kind of not advertise, but what's associated when you hear pickleball is that it's for multi-generations. Anybody can come and join and pick a paddle up and start playing. But at what cost? Like, are these people risking it because they're not prepared?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I think part of that video was that a lot of these people haven't played sports in a long time, or they haven't done anything really active for years and years and years before they start playing pickleball. And then they start playing and, you know, your competitive spirits get into it, or somebody hits a shot that makes you run a little bit further than you think you can get to, and you just overextend yourself. And if your body is not used to moving like that, injuries are going to happen pretty darn quick.
What do you think are the top pickleball injuries? Like top three?
Well, I think pickleball elbow has got to be. Yeah. One. I think that, you know, there's so many different, I don't know, bands or braces or any of those all relating to pickleball elbow. So I would think that's one of them. I think knees.
Like torn ligaments in your knees?
Yeah. Torn ligaments, I think just a lot of knee soreness because of the jarring, like the stop and go, the bending, I think all of that. I was talking to a tennis player and they were saying that in tennis, you're kind of used to going side to side because you move to one side, you hit the ball, then you're always shifting back to the middle of the court, right? So kind of side to side. But he says, now that I'm playing pickleball, it's front and back. It's like moving forward, moving back, moving forward, moving back. And there's, you know, kind of one step left, one step right. You know, that's kind of the movement. So it's a totally different stress on his knees that he, you know, he got used to playing tennis for so many years. It's a totally different stress on his knees. Now he has to move forward, back versus side to side. So I think knees is definitely an issue. And now it's the third one. I'm torn on the third one because of the story I told about the guy tearing his rotator cuff. I'm thinking maybe shoulder because of overheads and just, just swinging, you know, doing ground strokes. I think there could be shoulder issues. But then I also hear people complain about their hips.
Yeah, I have heard hips too. And I have experienced some hip pain after playing as well. But I've also experienced the shoulder pain and the elbow and the knees. So.
Well, I don't think shoulder pain is more from previous injuries from playing sports.
Yeah, I would say that's probably more so from softball, but
yeah. And I mine too. Mine's from baseball and softball for so many years, but rotator cuff issues. So I think for us, I think it's shoulder. Maybe that's part of the thing, right? It's just more people have worn down their shoulders in earlier years and now they're playing pickleball and it's just re-aggravating something.
That could be very true. But this was predicted by somebody that I met before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was, I think, last year around this time at the Corporate Challenge pickleball event that I was a part of. Yeah. And he was a previous professional sand volleyball player.
Okay.
And now he's a pickleball player. He's an older gentleman. And he was saying, he goes, just wait in a few years. The talk is going to be flipped because at that time, everyone's like, this is great exercise. It's so good for your body. It's low impact. And he was saying the opposite. And he was like, no, I think people are going to start getting really bad injuries from playing. And they're playing at like a more aggressive pace and the jarring on the knees, the ankles rolling. He definitely predicted that there was going to be a lot more injuries to come.
Well, that's what we need to have is like we need somebody in the family to go into some type of medical field that deals with pickleball injuries so we can keep playing.
Yes.
Keep us on the court.
Yeah, we can convince somebody in our family to open up that treatment center.
Yes.
Start giving us some therapy. And then that way we'll last on the courts, outlast our opponents at least.
So if there's any companies out there that want to sponsor our show and give us free treatment, hey, we are open for conversation. Contact us.
We need that cryotherapy.
That's right. Well, I did get their number. So
let's hit them up. I've also heard that red light therapy is also really good for sports injury recovery.
Okay. So
is it there?
No, wasn't there. But I tried red light therapy at home, like a gun, one of those red light guns.
Oh, okay.
So I never actually sat in the, I guess it's like a tanning bed, right? You lay in it as kind of like a red light thing. But I tried a gun where you hold the red light to your problem areas. I tried it for about a month. And this is when I was struggling with my carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I did not notice a difference.
Oh man.
But I wasn't doing the full body thing and I probably wasn't as intense as if you go to professional and you're sitting in one of those, you know, beds. So maybe that's why. But I tried it and it didn't help me.
But the cryo did.
The cryo did. The cryo did. So I would say give it a shot, Bridge.
I will. If I see one of those places around here, there's tons of med spas being in Vegas. Like they're on every corner, it seems like.
Have you
I just got to check out prices.
So have you heard about Cool Sculpting?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the woman that owns the cryo therapy thing, she uh-huh. says that they can use that to Cool Sculpt you too.
Oh.
I did not know that. So that there's another little benefit that, you know, you can kind of get rid of some of the fat, you know, for people that want to just like freeze some fat off. And you could probably do it at the cryotherapy studio too.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Now I'm going to definitely be keeping my eyes out.
Keep your eyes out. Next time I come down, which is pretty soon.
Yes.
Maybe we go look at a cryotherapy place together. Let's go get frozen.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Elsa. Well, let's toast. Let's take our third shot to staying healthy.
Yes.
And finding an extra $200 a month that we can spend on treating ourselves and stuff.
Yes, cheers to that.
Cheers. Thank you, everybody, for joining us again. Hopefully, you enjoyed just the Bridgie and Uncle show. It's the first time the two of us kind of went just a duet, right? The two of us playing doubles together here. Hopefully, you enjoyed it, enjoyed the conversation. We will have guests coming up We actually have a whole bunch of really fun guests that are coming up, and we can't wait for you to join us. So please join us again. Bridgie and I will continue to share our personal journeys, and let's keep growing this community together. See you next time on Third Shot Podcast.